just to glorify your name. From every bird singing to every ocean wave, made the sounds of this world forever stand amazed. 'Cause you are the soul.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to a new episode of Talk Back. I'm your host, Calvin Moore. And on today's episode, I have with me veteran worship leader, Todd Ballard. Todd, thanks so much for hopping on the line with us today.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you for listening and checking this out. It's a privilege.
No problem. I've had you're calling in to talk about your new album. This is a debut album, I think, Anthems. Is it a debut album for you?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
This is a debut album for you, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's my first nationally pressed album, so
okay.
I've done a couple of albums that are just I did locally, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I heard your name floating out there for a little while, so I was kind of surprised when your album came across the desk, but because I'd heard your name, I wasn't sure if this was a debut. So this is a national debut for you, but you've been
correct.
Doing music. You've been doing music for a while. So for those who might not know who you are, tell our listeners, who is Todd Ballard? How long have you been doing music? How did you get into music? That kind of thing.
Awesome. Well, I started singing and playing about 18 years ago. I was in my fifth year of college. Long story short, I dropped out of college. I'm not saying anybody should do that. and I got a guitar for Christmas and taught myself how to play guitar. And within a year, I was traveling in a band and started singing. So it was kind of one of those things where God just kind of opened a door, and I didn't even know I had that talent. And so I've been doing that for the past 18 years. I've worked at 5 churches. Most recently, I helped start a church in Denver, Colorado, called Red Rocks Church, which is now one of the fastest-growing churches in America, and just recently resigned just to tour.
Wow. That's kind of – so you had a secure job.
Yep.
as a pastor at a church and stepped out from that to release the album. So, I mean, that's got to be a step of faith for you, for sure. What's that transition? Well, first off, are you married?
I am, and yes, it was definitely a step of faith. I have two children. I have a little boy and a little girl, and, you know, because I was one of the founders of the church, they took care of me and helped me kind of pursue this dream that I'd wanted
okay.
to do. And so, from a financial standpoint, Red Rocks really tried to help me get to this next level. But it's still scary, you know. The album has released and we've gotten great reviews, and that's all great. But still, it's not an easy industry to make a living in. So
yeah.
Just in and trusting God. And if you've ever been in the ministry, there's seasons for everything. And we just knew our time at Red Rocks was done, and it's an awesome church, but we knew it was time to do something different. And so even though there's faith involved, when you feel that you hear from God, you just follow.
Absolutely. Dude, I'm right there with you. My story's a little bit different, but I moved from safe suburbia. I'm in Michigan.
Okay.
Suburban boy through and through, and I fell in love with the city. And members of my church fell in love with the city. And, you know, when you hear Detroit, like, Detroit is always, like, the butt of jokes and, you know, it's a dangerous city. But here I am, moved into the city. I've been here less than a month. So, but just following God and people still kind of shaking their heads or scratching their heads and going, what are you doing? And
yeah.
To a degree, kind of scared out of my mind, but knowing God's going to take care of me. My church is coming alongside me. So I'm right there with you in understanding, you know, what it takes to kind of take a step of faith when it looks kind of crazy to step out of something that's safe and secure and familiar. Let's talk about the album, because it's not like you just stepped out and you're just out there singing some songs. You actually have an album that's attached to the songs that you're singing. And you are you were a worship leader in the church. You stepped out and you've released a worship album as well. So your music is categorically Christian, categorically worship. Talk a little bit about the recording process. What went into kind of writing the lyrics and laying down the tracks? How did you go about putting together this first nationally released album?
Well, I'd been working on this album even while I was still at Red Rocks. I'd been kind of working on an album and was planning on kind of doing one through the church. And then got connected with Otto Price, who ended up producing the album, through a buddy of mine. Jeff Jackson was our connection. And long story short, all these songs that we were writing, me and one of the other worship leaders were writing a lot together at Red Rocks. And, man, it just seemed like something was special about it and anointed, and it felt like it was supposed to be big and big production. So I was able to talk Otto into working with me, which I really appreciated. And then, yeah, the end product was way better than I actually am, probably. And just very thankful that I got to be a part of this album.
Okay, there we go. So you connected with Otto Price. If I'm not mistaken, he used to play bass for DC Talk, like, way back in the
exactly,
day.
Exactly, yeah.
I've met him. He's a good guy, and he knows what he's doing. So you connected with Otto Price. I mean, he's worked with Toby Mac, Barlow Girl, a bunch of other people, used to play for DC Talk.
Yep.
And now you've got this album. Are you out touring on your own? Are you touring with a full band? What does it look like for you to tour?
So I just started. I didn't want to do anything with touring until the album came out. So it just came out 3 weeks ago, and that week it came out is when I started sending out kind of fillers of where we could try to tour. I do have a whole band. I'm a unique situation because I'm really a worship leader more than I'm an artist. I can pull off a pretty decent concert, but at the end of the day, I could also just come in and guest lead worship on Sunday morning. So we're just kind of putting our fillers out there and see where God opens up. We're not on because I signed a distribution deal instead of a record label. Getting on the big tours is kind of really difficult, and so now we're just kind of praying about it. And I'm spending time with my family. I don't really want to tour 150 dates a year anyway, so I'm just kind of praying about it and hoping that the CD does well, and when I do have concerts, that God would bless it, and that He'd be glorified.
Okay. Now, the title of the album is Anthems, and a lot of the songs on this project are more of the they're more anthems. They're a little bit louder, a little bit faster paced, a little bit bigger sound, which I appreciate. Obviously, you do have the more scaled-back songs as well that are kind of more worshipful and contemplative. But what's in that name? Why did you choose that particular that's my take. But why did you choose that particular name for this album?
Yeah, so, I mean, as a worship leader, like I said, in 18 years of me doing this, and I think you could probably ask most worship leaders, the hardest thing to do is come up with an opening song or the closing song. It's easy to find great slow worship songs. And so I really set out to write an album that was full of high-energy songs, because there's so many great middle songs that you do during the worship set, but your opener and your closers, man, it just seems like you can only do Oh Happy Day so many times, you know. I love that song. You know, I love Tim Hughes, and there's so many good songs, but there's way more in the slower genre than there is the upbeat. So I really wanted to write something that was very anthemic, big and loud, something that kind of sounded like Angels and Airwaves meets Chris Tomlin. And I hope I was able to accomplish that a little bit. So there's a lot of, you know, dotted eighth guitar stuff and big, powerful sounding guitars and drums. At the same time, really just simple lyrics that a corporate setting could grab a hold of.
Okay, so, I mean, I like that you pointed out that distinction. Look at music. I love the fact that worship music is kind of diverging. I mean, you've got your corporate, and then you've also got your artistic, and it's all worship, like your Gungers. You know, I'm going, okay, some of these songs can be sang in church, but let's just be honest, three-quarters of what Gunger puts out there, all of it worship, can't be sung in church. Either they don't have the depth of musicianship, or churches,
yeah.
I mean, you've worked in a church, churches are going to be like, this is just way too dense for me to get. I'm not sure if this is worship or what I'm saying or how is this worship, that kind of thing. Whereas there's corporate worship by, you know, the likes of, you know, your David Crowders or just Crowder now, and your Chris Tomlin,
right,
and those guys. So you're definitely more in the vein of corporate worship, like you said. What is that like for you, though? I mean, because you've written these songs. And so, you know, on Sunday at my church, we sing generally Hillsong, Passion, Jesus cults, you know, songs that somebody else wrote in their own church setting. You've written songs in and for your church, even though you've stepped out of your church. What's it like now when you have these songs that you've written, they get sung in your church, and now that, you know, you're out of the church and you're going to be touring it a little bit, what's it like to go places, know that you penned a song, and hear a bunch of people not just singing the lyrics, but worshiping God via these lyrics that you've written? What's that like for you as a worship leader?
Man, I got to be honest, it's just humbling, truly. You know, there's nothing new under the sun when it comes to music. And really, when it comes to worship, you're saying almost the same. I mean, there's only so many adjectives you can use to describe a God that you can't describe.
Right.
So you end up using a lot of the same words inside of worship music. And so why anybody would like my songs, it's just humbling to me. So I feel like it's turned out good. But, man, you know, there's so many amazing songs out there. So when you do hear some, I just had somebody contact me this week about Victorious, which is off the album. They're going to do it for their Easter service. And, you know, that's just cool to know that, man, God allowed me to be a part of their Easter service. I mean, that's all the praise goes to him, but it feels pretty cool to get
okay.
to be a part of it.
So obviously, I mean, you just said, you know, someone called and said, hey, Victorious, we're going to use it for our Easter service. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, well, that obviously makes sense. Jesus, you know, triumphs over the grave on Easter morning. That's why it's my favorite Christian holiday. So you've seen that song have an impact. You're seeing people say, hey, we want to use this. This is what it means to us, and this is how we want to use it. What are some other songs on the album that you are, I guess, pick two songs off the album that you think are just stellar? And I know that's like saying pick your favorite kid. But tell the story behind a couple of the songs on the album.
Okay. While We're Singing, I co-wrote with Ian Eskelin. And if you don't know who Ian Eskelin is, he's a huge producer in the Christian market, and then he used to be the singer.
Yeah, All Star United. All Star United. Wow. We're dating ourselves here.
Yeah, exactly. Mid-90s. Anyways, you know, I wrote that song with him, and it's based out of a Charles Spurgeon message, just like we just got it online. And this is why we sing, because God is good, and he's holy, and he's worthy, and he's love. I mean, and I think it's an upbeat, real fast song. It seems like kids really enjoy that song, the younger generation. I think so many people that are new to the church, which I love more than anything, I want to see new believers all the time, they don't really know why we're singing. And that's why we sing, because he's holy and he's good, and we constantly give praise back to him. So I really like that song. I think that's going to take off in churches nationwide pretty soon. And then another song I wrote with Chris McClarney. Do you know who Chris is?
Oh, yes. Yes, he released an album a couple of years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and he, you know, like the song Your Love Never Fails by the Newsboys right now, that's his song. I mean, he's a great songwriter. We wrote a song called Emmanuel that I think will be used in, especially around the holidays for Christmas time, that I just really love. It's the slowest song on the album. It's just basically me on a piano. And then Brent from One Republic, the cellist, played on it for me. He's a buddy of mine, and so it just sounds cool. It's got a nice sound, and it's just one of those songs in the midst of a anthemic album that's big in rock. It just, like, drops out, and then all of a sudden it's just this piano and some strings, and I think it's gonna do well, and it seems like it touches people's hearts.
Okay, so Todd, the album's out. It's touching people already. It's being used by people already. So what's next for you as a worship leader, as a worship artist, however people want to describe it? What's next on your calendar of things to do? Do you sit down and start penning the next album? Do you ride this album out? What does this all look like for you right now?
You know, I don't really know, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I know church pretty well. I don't know this the music world all that well, and so I'm just trying to take it day by day and really trust God. And my publicist is amazing. She's gotten me all over, and so I'm constantly doing interviews and whatever I can do to kind of promote the album, but ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm just trying to trust him. And if he opens the door, I walk through it. And if he doesn't, then I just keep trusting. And so I know it's kind of a cliche answer, but I really don't know. I don't know what the future looks like. I just know I pray that he opens the door for me to lead people into his throne room. That's what I was created to do.
And you know what? I don't think that answer is cliche. I think that answer is real and realistic. Sometimes people answer with like super uber spiritual answers. I'm like, dude, you don't know. Just admit it. You're scared. You have no idea what's happening next. But you have faith that God does. So I appreciated that answer. But so where can people find out more about your music? Because I mean, I get everything before it comes out. So I've heard of this thing called iTunes where people can buy music, but I don't know what that's. No, but where can people find out more about you as an artist, and where can they pick up your new album, Anthem? Where can they pick up some of your old music if it's online? Where can they find out more about Todd Ballard?
Okay, so iTunes carries both my recent album, which is Anthems, and then an album I put out like 7 years ago. Which isn't near at the quality, but it's got some good songs on there, some good church songs. And then Lifeway picked me up, so stores nationwide should have it, and if they don't have it in stock, they can always order it. ToddBallard.com is by far the easiest way to connect with me. You can find emails on there as well as my Twitter feed and Facebook. So just ToddBallard.com, and you can also listen to samples of songs on there. So that's probably the easiest way to get in contact with me, or at least kind of learn more about who I am and the ministry God's given me.
Okay. Well, Todd, thank you so much for hopping on the line and taking time to share a little bit about who you are and your heart for worship and this particular album, Anthems. People, if you're listening, hopefully you're still listening at this point, go out and pick it up at your local Lifeway, pick it up on iTunes. It's a great album. You will enjoy it. Pass it along to your worship pastor, or turn him onto it, or him or her onto it, so they can pick it up. It's good stuff. And again, Todd, thanks so much for hopping on the line with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much, and God bless you guys.
All right, talk to you later, man.
Okay, bye-bye. Be glorified.